got a bunch of statistics and that sort of thing. I'm going to skip around to a lot of that stuff because we are running a little long, and I want to keep you guys paying attention as much as I can. And I know that our fannies can only take it so long. So anyways, we're going to jump around a little bit. But let me just read some stuff real fast. Open Doors USA, that's a Christian non-denominational mission organization, watchdog group, watches the most, the nations of the world that are the most persecuting towards Christians. And they also represent the persecuted church, bless the persecuted church, stand up for the persecuted church, as well as missionaries. And this is what they said right here. Now listen up, that 100 million Christians, that's a lot. That 100 million Christians around the globe are currently suffering because they are Christians. There's like 35 million people in Canada. Way more than that are suffering around the globe. 100 million Christians are suffering. Why? Because they love Jesus. This is our brothers and sisters in Christ, okay? Now, Franklin Graham, a man who I have immense respect for, says 7,100 Christians around the world, 7,100 Christians around the world had been killed for being Christians in the last year. That's a lot of people. The 2000 census said that there was about that many people that lived in Pace, Florida. So take the population of Pace, Florida, and that's how many people died last year just because they love Jesus. Amen? So there's a war on against God's people. Amen? Let me, there are more Christian martyrs today. This is staggering right here. There are more Christian martyrs today than in the days of the early Christian church. So when you read the Bible and you see how all these people were massacred because they love Jesus, it's more intense now than it's ever been before. Matter of fact, more Christians were martyred in the 20th century. That's our last century. That's when we just wrapped up. More Christians were martyred in the 20th century than in all other centuries combined. That's crazy. That's crazy. So like I said, today is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. This is the day where we stop what we're doing and we want to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are in harm's way. Amen? So let's make sure that we do that today, okay? There's tons of statistics that I could go through, but here's the problem with statistics, and if you've been watching the election polls and all, you're probably just bored to death with numbers, okay? But this is, well, let me just say this. The problem with statistics is there's no faces to it. You know what I mean? It's just a number, and I'm super convicted about this, because I've just been digging up, doing research, and I realized that the more numbers I was looking at, it was just that. It was just numbers to me, and I hate to say that. So I started digging into the painful stuff, like we just watched right there, of personal situations where people lose their lives because they love Jesus. And I want us to leave here today knowing that our brothers and sisters are dying. Amen. And we have a job to do. Amen. You say, well, what can I do? Well, it ain't called the International Day of Prayer for nothing. Okay. You want to send them some money? If you can send them some money, we got some, Brother Rick got some stuff in the bulletin. Okay. You can send those people money. We support Voice of the Martyrs here. Okay. But you know what? We really need to pray. We need to pray for these people. And we're going to talk more about that as we get in this sermon. But let me give you a little bit of stuff here, real fast, still a little generic. You're not going to know any names, but it's still going to hit a little more intimate. Amen. Do I have your permission to do that this morning? Okay. This is just some of the stuff, some of the satanic, demonic stuff that our brothers and sisters go through because they love Jesus. If you are concerned about little ones being in here, send them out to the playground, send them to youth, whatever you want to do. But if you think they need to hear it, then let's let them hear it, okay? Little Christian children in Africa burned alive by the firewood they were forced to collect themselves for their own funeral pyre. Demonic. Everyone say, that's demonic. That's nothing less than satanic, making little kids, they just love Jesus. That's their crime. They love Jesus. They're forced by people with guns and machetes to go dig up their own firewood to burn themselves to death. Boiling water poured down the throats of Southeast Asian Christians. Why? Why? Because they had a Bible. They were found with Bibles. It's illegal to be a Christian in North Korea. That's not Southeast Asia, but I just wanted to let you know that. North Korea is number one on this list that Open Doors USA does. They've been number one in church persecution for like 14 years and running. They've been holding that top place for a long time. 50 to 70,000 people are in concentration camps in North Korea because they love Jesus. Because they love Jesus. But here we go in Southeast Asia. So Southeast Asia, what are we talking about? We're talking about Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, Thailand, French Indochina for you historians. Boiling water poured down the throats of Southeast Asian Christians for possessing a Bible. Congregations of Chinese believers forced at gunpoint to beat their minister to death with rods. Isn't that sad? And we all know about ISIS. ISIS continues its demonic genocide of Christians. I've seen so much stuff over the last 2 days. And I promised myself this time I wasn't going to do that. Because I think it was last year or maybe the year before, I accidentally stumbled upon some crazy stuff that's put out there. I don't really know the motives behind why it's put out there, but Christian organizations put some stuff out, very graphic murders, just murders, slaughtering our brothers and sisters. And I thought I knew to stay away from that, but the deeper I got into it, the more it was just right there. And so you watch it and you're like, anger. Anger is the word that comes to mind. But you know, you can be angry and sin not. Did you guys know that? You can be angry and sin not. I have to admit, I think I sinned when I got angry. When I first saw it, so I repented. But the things, I'm not being funny this morning. If something happens and we chuckle. That's cool. That's fine. That's great. But this is so serious. And I see these things, man, these little kids, that these demon-possessed people, oh, they're not demon-possessed, they're freedom fighters. Yeah, give me a break, dude. This is demons that make people do this. It's satanic, what they do to these kids. You know, little kids, man. I can't go into it too much, but they, our brothers and sisters, they need prayer. And we need to think about this more than one day a year. We really do. We need to pray about this every single day. Amen? Every day. And I mean pray. Okay. So ISIS continues its demonic genocide of Christians with beheadings, crucifixions. I crucified some pastors over Easter. Beheadings, crucifixions, drownings, and burning people alive. Just to name a few of the crazy, evil, satanic things that these people do. To Christians. Okay, so anyways, that probably hits a little closer to home, right? I mean, we're not just talking about numbers now, but we're actually talking about things that people do. Okay, there's this girl. Her name is Fatima. Let me see, Fatima. That's what we're gonna call it. Little Saudi Arabian teenage girl. Okay, she was raised a Muslim. This isn't an anti-Muslim message, but I think we need to be truthful in here. We need to pray that people that don't belong to Jesus, they need to be saved, man. They got to accept Jesus Christ. There's only one way to salvation, and that's through Jesus Christ, okay? So any false religion can lead you into a bad place, okay? As people say, well, all you got to do is be sincere about what you believe. Yeah, you can be a sincere person to that religion and end up killing and murdering innocent people. Okay, we're not about that, okay? We pray for the salvation of those that persecute us. Amen. So anyways, there's this teenage girl. Her name is Fatima. She was raised Muslim. She ends up denouncing her faith and accepting Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. Okay. She's excited. She's in Saudi Arabia. She doesn't, there's practically nobody she can talk to about this face to face. So, like any teenage girl, she gets on the internet, she starts blogging, you know, about her love for Jesus Christ. And she starts picking up followers. And there's people get on there and they say these mean things about her. Not everybody, but a lot of people are, they say these vicious things like, you serve a weak, crucified, dead Savior, and you're ashamed to the Saudi people. Little things like that that would hurt a teenager, you know. And if I could get my hands on you, I would slaughter you twice. So, and naturally, she used a fake name. She got excited. She got a burden in her heart for her family. So one day, she tells her family about Jesus. She witnesses to her family. The next day, a big fight breaks out. Big fight. The next day, she comes back from an outing. Her brother is in her room looking at her laptop, her computer. She's scared to death because her screensaver is a cross. And her brother's looking at all her stuff, and her brother is very angry. Just super, super angry. It's such an embarrassment to him. She is scared for her life. She locks herself up in her room. Somehow the brother leaves. She locks the door to her room. And for 4 hours, she's terrified. She gets on her computer, and she types, "I'm in big trouble." For anybody out there, "I'm in big trouble." And this is what she says, if I can find it. "Jesus Christ is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" That's the last thing she wrote in there. Her brother busts in the room, burns her face, burns her back, cuts her tongue out, and kills her. Her brother does this. That's a, what is that, an honor killing, a mercy killing, a justifiable murder in some places. What is her crime? Y'all tell me, what's her crime? She's a Christian. She just loves Jesus, and she was letting her light shine. Okay? Are you guys okay? It's a persecution, Christian persecution. It's nothing new. It's been going on since the beginning of time, really. The Old Testament prophets, they were murdered because of their stand for God. You know, Isaiah, history has him recorded that he was sawn in half. The early church, they were full. You want to read some stuff, man. Read Fox's Book of the Martyrs. The early church, some of them had to, were forced to put animal hides on their bodies, and they would release wild animals. Would release dogs to maul them and tear them open and just eat them while they were alive. I am trying to paint a picture for you guys this morning. I really am. Because as I was doing this and looking at all this stuff, and I spent hours combing over stuff because I wanted to make sure it was real, you know, just breaking my heart, you know, breaking my heart what Satan has done. Amen. And what he continues to do for our family. Okay. But really, to be honest with you, what really breaks my heart is my one day a year mentality about, that's when I'm going to start thinking about that, you know. For me, the week before I get up here and talk about it, you know, and it shouldn't be that way, right? Okay. So anyways, you know, what else they do, the early church? The gladiators murdered them for sport, for fun, tied them up, lit them. Romans tied them up, lit them as human torches to light their parties, man. So this is nothing new. Amen? It's been going on for a long time. 2 Timothy 3:12. You don't have to turn anywhere, but perhaps we have the slides. Because you can turn if you want, but I'm just going to kind of be jumping around. And we're not going to stay in any one place too long. But 2 Timothy 3:12, this is the Apostle Paul right here. And remember, the Apostle Paul was martyred. He was beheaded for his stand for Jesus Christ. Amen? So this is nothing new. But this is what he said. This is what he said to his spiritual son, Timothy. Indeed, listen up. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. How about them apples? If you've got a desire in your heart to serve Jesus, it ain't no easy road. Amen? Matter of fact, that's part of being a Christian is persecution. Now look, this is what Peter says in 1 Peter 4:12. And what about Pete? Anyone know how Pete died? He was crucified upside down. He didn't want to identify with how his Lord and Savior was put to death, and he was obliged, and they crucified him upside down. Okay, and that's what church history gives us. But anyways, 1 Peter 4 and verse 12 says, "Beloved," talking to Christian folks here, "do not be surprised at the fiery trial." I'm not talking about somebody ripping your plastic Jesus fish off the back of your car. You know what I mean? I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about the TV making fun of the Christians. Now, what that is, that's stage one right there. Making fun of the Christians. Okay, because look, this is what you got to see. This is what happened across the ocean there. You got to make fun of the Christians first. Then you got to make the Christians look like they're the source of the problem. And then it goes from there on, okay? Like, we got to do something about these Christians so we can be happy. Anyways, not trying to freak anybody out, but here we are. Okay, so I'm talking about Christians. This is the norm, okay? Christians go through persecution. Okay, so like Peter says, behold, don't be surprised, don't count it strange when you go through these fiery trials, this really, really painful stuff. This shouldn't blow your mind. Like, why is this happening to me? It shouldn't be like that. Okay, this is part of being a Christian. Okay, y'all with me so far? At the fiery trial, when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. Okay, so this is really the norm. Okay, so what we're seeing to start trickle over here on these shores, we're just catching up with the rest of the world, right? Okay, so this has been going on since the beginning of time, okay, and it's not going away anytime soon. So why persecution? Why persecution? We could really skip this because it's super simple. We all know this already. Why persecution? Okay. Because you're special to God, right? That's the simplest way to put it. God loves you so much. You are super special to him. Talking about his Christians, you're special to him, and Satan hates you for that. See, Satan can't touch God. You know that? You already know that? Yeah. See, Satan can't do nothing to God. He's a defeated foe. So with that in mind, that he knows he's defeated and he knows time is short and he can't touch God, he can't touch Jesus, but he wants to attack God's special possessions. He wants to destroy, he wants to annihilate, wipe it off the face of the earth, the Christians. And it's not going to work. It's not going to work, right? Can't work. It's not going to work. Amen? The gates of hell will not prevail. It's not going to happen. That's not going to stop him from trying. And that's not going to stop him from deceiving people around the world to attack the Christian. Amen. So 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, I'll explain it a bit. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. That's you, that's me. Say, hey, God's special possession. Go ahead and do that. That's what I'm talking about, Dwayne. Dwayne's still up. Dwayne's up. Dwayne's up and active. You're God's special possession. Satan doesn't like that. Satan hates your guts, man. But look, there's more to it than just that, okay? That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Not only are you special to God, but you're going about doing the Lord's business. You're messing up Satan's program. You see what I'm saying? He's going to do everything he can to try and get rid of you. He's trying to claim what he thinks is his. Satan is trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And here comes the church standing up, getting serious about the relationship with the Lord, messing up his program. And he's going to manipulate whatever he can to bring persecution on you to try and get you to shut up or freak out. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, Rachel Grace Wright. The other night I was teaching the youth Wednesday night, and this little kid, I wasn't sure if it was a little kid at first. It was like a bolt of lightning just flew by me from the nursery, just boom, and went right out the door into the parking lot. I was like, whoa, that was my kid. Man. Okay, so you got it. Why persecution? God loves you. God uses you. God has a plan for you, and Satan hates you for it. You're special to the Lord. Amen? So he's not going to stop. Amen. And Satan does the same things he's done since the beginning of time. You know what I mean? He's not going to win. He knows he can't win, but he just wants to do any damage that he possibly can. It's like the Germans at the end of World War II. It's like the Japanese at the end of World War II, tenaciously fighting harder than ever in those last days. They knew they were a defeated enemy, but just to take out as many Americans as they could, to slow down the inevitable. Amen. That's Satan's little trick. It hasn't changed, but he's not slowing down anything. It's all on God's timetable. Okay? Are y'all with me? Can I get a witness in the hizzle? Amen. Let's go to the next slide. So persecution's part of being a Christian. Amen. We know why there's persecution. Here's the one that maybe you struggle with. Why does God allow persecution? You know, because I'll be honest with you, man. When I see the things that I've saw via the internet, it's not like I've been there, you know, but it was enough to just feel the pain because I'm a father. And I love my kids, and I would do anything for my kids. And you read these stories of the helpless mothers and fathers that could do nothing to spare their children's lives and the torture that they went through. And it's just evil. It's nothing but evil and satanic. The things that people do and smile, and a lot of them, a group of them, think that they're serving their God and getting brownie points with their God by doing this sort of thing. It's not all religious, but a lot of it's religious. You know, a lot of it's just government state persecution because they don't want their people to have hope. They don't want them to follow anything but the state. Okay, so there's Satan will use anything he can to attack the church. Amen. Y'all with me? Okay, Job 23 and verse 10. Why does God allow persecution? But he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. That's a big part of it right there. God's maturing us. God's maturing us, and it's in that furnace. I don't like the sound of that no more than you do. Okay? But we know that the trials that we go through around here in our little boring lives, you know, these things that are so big in our world, God allows those things into our life to mature us, right? Well, persecution is the same ball of wax. He allows these things because he's maturing his body. He's maturing his church. He's bringing us to that place of maturity. Amen. You know, it's like the cauldron. And they put the gold in there with the rocks and all the refuse and everything that's bound around the gold. But through that extreme heat, the refuse, or what is not good, rises to the top, scooped out, and what is left is a purer product. And that's what's going on in our lives, and that's what's going on with the persecuted church. Because, listen, when you're forced in a situation to where you can't really leave your house because you're probably not going to return, but at the same time your family's starving to death and people are going door by door looking for the Christians, you're either going to run to the Lord or you're not. But when you run to the Lord, what do you get? You get peace. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He never promises a cakewalk. He never says it's going to be easy and, you know, it's going to be super chill and this is just how it's going to be. It's not like that. Okay? Matter of fact, he said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. Do you think that you're greater than your master? Right? That's paraphrased, but you get what I'm saying, right? So we're going to go through these sort of things. But see, there's an intimacy. There's a deeper, closer walk and a deeper reliance we get because we have no choice but to trust in our Lord and Savior. Amen. And that relationship grows. Amen? A deeper, more intimate walk. And what happens the closer I get to the Lord, the deeper I fall in love with the Lord? What's the natural side effect of that is obedience. Obedience. I'm going to do this painful thing. I'm going to do the scary thing that the Lord requires of me, even if it means my life, because I follow this book and the example that the Lord has given me. Amen? So it's for my own maturity. It's for growing me up. But not only that, it's for furthering his kingdom, for growing his church. Amen? Because through this fire, through these storms, these tribulations, we are an obedient body. See, if we look at the early church, the beginning of the early church where the apostles, Jesus says, I got to go away, but I'm going to send down the Holy Spirit. And I want you to stay here in Jerusalem until you receive the Holy Spirit. But when you receive the Holy Spirit, go out, spread the gospel, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, all over the world. Go out. Don't hide it under a bushel. Go out and use what I have given you and spread the word of God everywhere. Okay, well, the problem with that, because the Lord Jesus kept his word and the Holy Spirit fell on the church and mighty deeds were happening and amazing things were happening, but they were having just the awesomest, greatest time imaginable, you know? Everybody was like, the Lord was using everybody and the church was just growing and growing and growing. And who would want to leave that? Raise your hand if you would want to leave that and go to Samaria. I hate to say it, but the Jews were a lot of prejudice against the Samaritans and vice versa. They didn't like each other. Okay, so like, go to Judea, Jerusalem, okay. Samaria, I ain't going, you go. But Jesus wanted to destroy that. Jesus, instead of skirting around Samaria, he would go right through it, man. Okay, so Jesus, big time, one of his big time missions was to destroy racial prejudice. Let's just annihilate that right now. This has no place in the kingdom of heaven. You know, I'm not going around this area. What are you talking about? I love these people. Okay, you ain't better than them. Vice versa. Anyways, that's what they call a rabbit trail in my profession. If you can call a profession, whatever. God is good, tell the truth, shame the devil. Mm-hmm. So, anyways, what are we talking about? Oh, persecution. Okay. So, anyways, the church is just booming. It's growing. But they're just staying put. So, God allows, God pushes, God makes persecution. Would he really do that? Hey, God's ways are above our ways, man. We don't always see it. We don't always get it. Okay. But he's like, boom, persecution. And what happens with the persecution? The church spreads out. Okay, now you're in Judea. Now I see you're in Samaria. Oh, look, now you're all over the world. You're talking to Gentiles about Jesus. Who would have thought? You know? See? The intimacy, that deeper, closer walk with the Lord, the side effect of that thankfulness is going to lead me to obedience. So no matter where I go, I'm spreading the word of God. I'm growing in relationship through this, okay? And the church is growing. Hey, that's the big thing, right? Jesus Christ didn't just die for you to be saved, okay? I hate to break that to you. You're cool. You're awesome. And I think you're cool. Some more than others. No, I'm playing. But he died for God so loved the what? For the world. All of them, the whole kit and caboodle, the whole shooting match, the whole nine yards. The church had to get off its patoot, its fanny. So he allowed this persecution to come in, make it to where you just cannot stay here anymore. You got to go out. Okay, so anyways, and the church grew. Look at the Apostle Paul's ministry. Look at it. Go ahead, read Acts, read Romans. Okay, check it out. Preach in a town, persecution, endurance. I'm not giving up. I'm not going to stop preaching. That's how it would work. Preach, persecution, not giving up, standing my ground. Then the big harvest would come in, big fat harvest. It's in the furnace of affliction where God makes his man. Amen. God's called us to be a light to a lost and dying world. So that persecution pushes you past your comfort zone big time, but the Lord is going to use that. Amen. Can I get a witness? I mean, you can look at the persecuted church. You cannot number the Chinese underground church because it's underground. Yeah, but I mean, it's just growing and growing and growing and growing. And dude, those are some persecuted folks, man. All right. North Korea, totally illegal, 100% against the law to be a Christian. Okay, but in those labor camps, those concentration camps that I was telling you about earlier, where they're full of 50 to 70,000 people, they can't really keep up with it. They don't really know what's going on with exact numbers. But revival's breaking out in those camps. They can't stop what Jesus is doing, man. They can't stop it. It's the church is growing. And yeah, they're killing them, but the church is spreading like wildfire. Amen. It's like what the Pharisees were talking about was it Peter and John who the Lord used to raise up the crippled man? And they're like, you can't talk about Jesus anymore. That's what the Pharisees said. Like, dude, whatever. You want me to obey you or God? I'm going to obey God. And the Pharisees were freaking out, man, because the church was growing and growing and growing and growing and growing. Yeah, go ahead and persecute them, man. They ain't going anywhere but getting bigger. Amen. Can y'all dig that? God is good. Okay, next slide. Persecution is part of being a Christian. Satan will do anything to trying to destroy God's church, but that's a futile exercise. Amen. The Lord allows it for his glory and your growth to further his kingdom. Now, this is what I want us to understand. Okay. Any pain or torment that we go through because we love Jesus Christ, let it be known and let it sink in right now and never forget this, that it is only for a season. It's only for a season, no matter how long it lasts or persists. If you live to be 110 years old or 120 years old, however long your life is here, it's only a minute. You can't even put it into a fraction. Your existence here on earth is so tiny compared to your eternity. Amen? So here we are. This life is hard. And Satan's busy trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And we're busy, too, doing things we shouldn't do. Let's just face it. That's a rabbit trail. I'm not going down there. Everyone say, don't go down there. Don't. We'll talk about that later. It's so tempting. Okay, so anyways, Matthew 5 and verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted. What? And all God's people said, what? Some of y'all did that. Okay. Anyways, you all love me, so it's all good. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So you're blessed if you are persecuted because you love Jesus. Well, that doesn't make sense. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That is a reason to get excited. You're only going to be here for a season, and no matter how crazy your world becomes or what's going on with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and I'm saying we pray for those people. We pray for them because they're praying for us. The report's coming out as they're praying for the fat, lazy Western church to wake up and get in the war. Okay. Anyways, we got to pray for them, but let it be known that it's only for a season. Okay, then we get the good stuff like never before. And plus, God promises to never leave you or forsake you. And there's all kinds of awesome things that God promises to be with his children, that he goes before you and make the crooked places straight and so on and so forth. But look at Romans 8 and verse 18 real fast. This is the Apostle Paul, one of my faves, one of my heavy hitters. Not one of my heavy hitters, but I really like the Apostle Paul. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, see, all this stuff was written during hardcore persecution against the church. So they kept addressing it. And it's like this hurts, this stings, but it's only going to sting for a minute. As far as the big picture goes, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's awesome. That's awesome. Amen? Okay. Believe me, that's something that you hold on to. Okay, because if the Lord tarries, we are all going to stop breathing one day. But death, where is your sting? You know, no matter if somebody else makes you take that last breath or the Lord just calls you home, we don't have to live in fear. The Lord doesn't want us to live in fear, because to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. That's paraphrased, but you know what I'm saying, man. It's a win-win for the believer. Can I get a witness? Okay. Yeah, give him some praise, man. And I'm not doing horrible today. But anyways, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Apostle Paul's like, the Lord is doing such amazing things in your life that you are going to experience some amazing things in your eternity, and you just cannot believe. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. You can't even imagine how awesome your eternity is going to be. So yeah, it's a little tough right now, but God is good and God has a plan. Amen. So what do I do? Pray. We got to pray. Let's pray for this nation. Amen. Can I be honest with you in church today? Is that okay with you guys? There is evil plans to take away the Christians' freedoms in this land. There is evil plans to destroy Christianity in this land, to get away with it, to get it out of there. I would see they're testing the waters. I so desire to not sound like a nutcase. I really don't want you guys to think I'm weird or have lost it. Okay. But you can take me at this. Take me at my word. Satan is busy trying to destroy this nation. And he wants to get rid of the Christians. He wants to bring persecution on the Christians like never before. And if he can deceive people across the big pond, do you not think he cannot deceive some of his followers over here? Huh. I got a phone call from somebody. Anyways, he knows I'm in church. It's all good. Anyways, not trying to freak anybody out, but we need to pray for this nation like never before. Because I honestly believe with all my heart that the Lord God Jehovah is not done with this nation. He is not done with this nation, and we are going to see revival like never, ever, ever before. Now, there's a couple things that can happen with that revival. We can sit here and play church and still have church, you know. But we can get on board with what God wants to do as well. I'm not saying we're playing church. Let me put it to you like this. That sounds awful condemning. A lot of the churches can miss out on this big revival that's coming. If you don't want it, you can get passed over. But if we seek God's face, if we humble ourselves, he's going to heal our hand. And he heal our land. And he wants to bring revival. He wants to do some amazing things. And he wants to use this church right here. I'm not talking about filling up all these chairs. That'd be nice. I wouldn't complain about that. That's a good problem to have where people are going to sit. I'm just saying that God wants to do some awesome stuff in these days. And we need to pray that we want it as well, that the Lord will give us a hunger to be that vessel that can be poured out, that just wants what God wants, no matter what. Amen? Okay. So anyways, let's pray for our nation. You know, pray that God will be merciful in this nation, because you know, this nation ain't sinless. All right? I love my nation. I'm patriotic. I like that song. And I'm gladly stand up. I love my nation, but this nation ain't perfect. We've got some awesome people here. Satan wants to destroy this land. Pray for mercy. Pray for revival. Pray that God's will be done in this land. And let's make sure that we are everything the Lord wants us to be. Amen? Okay, let's also pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray for provision. People are starving to death. People are being murdered. Pray for provision. Pray for safety. Pray for peace. Pray for joy. Amen. Pray for endurance. Pray for boldness, that they will continue to be what God's called them to be. Amen. That they will continue to let their light shine. Amen. Ephesians 6 and verse 18. Go to the next slide, guys. Ephesians 6 and verse 18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Serious, hardcore prayer. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Don't just pray for these people right here, but please pray for these people. And pray for the other two-thirds of the church, wherever they're at today. Pray for them. No joke, no harm. You know, people get sick. People have to go places. It's all good. Pray for the people that you don't see, but also pray for all the saints. Man, there's Christians all over this globe that we're not going to see till we get to heaven. You know what I mean? And wouldn't it be nice to be able to say, man, I heard you was praying about me. St. Peter said you was praying about me. Well, who knows how that works, but, you know, wouldn't that be cool, man? Just pray for your brothers and sisters. Amen. Pray that the church across the way, God's going to really use them. Pray for Ferris Hill Baptist Church, man. They've begun to partner with us. They don't have to partner with us. Amen. But we're beginning to partner with each other. So let's begin to pray for Ferris Hill Baptist Church and pray. Well, they're Baptist. Well, who cares, man? Who cares? We ain't got it all right here. They ain't got it all right. Ain't nobody got it all perfect but Jesus. You know, pray for them. I mean, anyways. But listen, maybe this will help you guys with your prayer life when we're praying for the persecuted church. Look at Hebrews 13 and verse 3. Remember those who are in prison. Anybody ever spent a night in jail? Never mind. Okay. Anybody ever done hard time? Never mind. Okay. Hebrews 13 and verse 3. Remember those who are in prison. Listen to this part. As though you were in prison with them. And those who are mistreated, since you are all in the body. So we're all in the same body, and when one part of the body suffers, we all suffer. Okay? But it's not really working that way. Because as far as I know, I got a lot of brothers and sisters, other parts of the body that are just in agony, that are hurting really, really bad. And I'm still going to eat my lunch here in a little while. I'm still going to try and sneak off and take me a nap. You know what I'm saying? But see, we need to get to that place, man, where we feel the Lord's heart for his children. Amen? That we can intercede and really earnestly pray for them, and this will help. Just like what that verse said. Look, remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them. As though you were in prison right there, and you were in them shoes. Let me explain it to you like this. What if you had to hide out in the Afghanistan wilderness because people found out that you were a Christian, because you were doing what the Lord called you to do, and you were witnessing, and the people said that they turned you into the Taliban, and if they find you, they're going to kill you, they're going to give your wife to somebody else, and they'll kill your kids, because that's what's going on. What if that was you sitting in the desert, and you got these little kids that love you? They can't even figure this stuff out. Daddy, why are these people trying to kill you? Why is this going on? What if that was you? That's what the Lord's saying. Pray like you were in those people's shoes. Like you're really going through that. Like you don't know when that door's going to get kicked in, when people are going to come in with machetes and make you watch horrible things happen to your kids before it finally goes to black in your eyes. Amen? Are y'all with me? Okay. Okay, we're pretty much done, but this is something that I heard about it a couple years ago, and when I heard about it, it brought tears to my eyes. I'm not one of those guys that's like super, super crybaby. Well, yeah, I am pretty much, but what can I say? You remember that episode of Little House on the Prairie when they, never mind. I heard this story a while back. I shared it last year, and so I was at a place last night where I really didn't know what to do with this service and how to approach it. And I called my beloved Rachel Jean, and she brought me my book from last year so I could just kind of look and see what I did, because I can't really remember how I approached this, and I was just really burdened about a lot of things. Well, I found this note that I left, and I talked about this last year, but it was about the Boxer Rebellion, this forgotten war that happened in 1900 in China. This big nationalist movement to push out all the foreigners out of China. Okay, and to be quite honest, you know, the foreigners were kind of raping the Chinese landscape and getting what they wanted, and not really, it wasn't really benefiting the Chinese folks much. Okay, so this big movement arises, and these Boxers, that's what they were called, anti-Christian, outside influence. So this little tiny forgotten war, like 32,000 Chinese were killed by each other. And then 239 foreign missionaries were killed. So during all this, the Boxers come up to this little missionary compound. And it's got like 100 students, little Chinese kids, orphans, stuff like that. There's about 100 of them. They block all the exits, all the gates, they block them. With gunmen, can't get, there's only one way out. And this is just evil and satanic. This is a long time ago, but Satan's been real busy since then. They leave one exit out of this compound, and they place a cross on the ground in front of that exit. And they say to these kids, 100 of them, give or take, it's around 100. Your life will be spared. You can go free. Go do whatever you want to do. Okay, all you got to do is trample this cross. Just walk out, just trample the cross. First kid runs out and walks right over the cross. Just they're terrified. They're little kids. Runs over the cross, set free. Off he goes. Next 6 or 7 kids do the same thing. Just couldn't get out of there fast enough, so they run and trample over the cross. Little kids. Little kids like the ones we got around here. This one little girl, and I think about my little girls, you know, because, I mean, we're all the same, man. We're Christians. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. We have this thing in common, you know. We love Jesus, and that's what they're dying for. You know what I mean? This one little girl comes out, and she sees the cross, and she kneels down, and she puts her hands like this, and she prays. Maybe she's praying for strength. I bet she's praying for strength. And she gets up and she does not get on the cross. She walks around the cross. It's just so precious to her because she was a little orphan. You know what I mean? And someone told her about Jesus. Some missionary told her about Jesus, and it changed her life. And she knew that no matter how hard her little life was, that this little peasant girl and all this destruction going on around her, that she was loved by the creator of the universe. Loved so much that the Messiah, his son, died for her. And though her life was going to be hard for however many years it was going to be, there was this little peasant Chinese girl in 1900. That at the end of it, she was going to spend all eternity in the arms of her Lord and Savior. So she doesn't touch the cross. And they kill her. They kill her, blow her away, just like they promised. But then the other 92, these other little kids, you know what they did? Every one of them refused to trample that cross. After that statement, after that little girl refusing to trample the cross, they refused to trample that cross. And every single one of them were murdered because they love Jesus. So that's what I wanted to say. Are we concerned about our brothers and sisters? Are we really praying for them? You know, can we pray for them every single day? And what would you do? By the way, don't answer that, but what would you do? You know, if someone said, you know, you can go free, you can have a happy, healthy, productive life. All you got to do is curse Jesus. All you got to do is deny Jesus. Or we can go ahead and take you out. I want you all to think about that. And I love you guys. Thank you, Lord, for blessing this church. Bless this nation, Lord. Give us revival. Give us a heart for a lost and dying world. Give us a heart for our persecuted brothers and sisters. We just ask you, Lord, to be merciful on this land. Be merciful on us as we have slept, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus, that we will wake up and be everything you've called us to be. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So.